Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Heritage Foods Q4 FY 2021 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this call is being recorded. I would now like to hand the floor over to Mr. Hiral Keniya. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Tanvi. Good evening, everyone. I welcome you all to the earnings call of Heritage Foods Limited for Q4 and FY 2021. Today, we have with us the management represented by Dr. M. Sambasiva Rao, President, Mrs. N. Brahmani, Executive Director, Mr. Umakant Barik, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer, Mr. A. Prabhakara Naidu, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. J. Sambamoorthy, Chief Operating Officer. Before we get started, I would like to remind you that the remarks today might include forward-looking statements, and actual results may differ materially from those contemplated by forward-looking statements. Any statements we make on this call today is based on our assumptions as on the date, and we have no obligations to update this statement as a result of new information or future events. I would now invite Dr. M. Sambasiva Rao from Heritage Foods to make his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Hiral. A very good evening to everyone. I once again welcome you all to this earnings call of Heritage Foods to discuss the performance of quarter four and financial year 2021. I do hope all of you are safe and healthy during this challenging pandemic period. The results presentation has been uploaded on the exchanges and on our website. I hope you had an opportunity to look at it by now. Before taking you all through the financial and operational highlights for the quarter and for the full year, I would like to apprise everyone that based on the improved profitability for the year, the board of directors has recommended a final dividend of 100%. That is a dividend of 5 rupees per equity share as a reward to our esteemed shareholders. Heritage Foods, as you know, is amongst India's leading value-added and branded dairy products companies, and it enjoys a strong brand affinity with its consumers. Heritage Foods milk and value-added products such as paneer, curd, flavored milk, lassi, ice creams, among others, are consumed by more than 1.5 million households in 11 states across India, and is specially known for its products' purity, authenticity, quality, and freshness. The company enjoys long-term relationships with more than 3 lakh farmers and has a wide distribution network comprising of more than 6,000 distributors agents. Company has 18 state-of-the-art milk processing factories with a processing capacity of 2.7 million liters per day. Heritage, through its wholly owned subsidiary called Heritage Nutrivet Limited, has a significant presence in the cattle feed business and serves all our farmers across 8 states. Demand for nutritionally balanced compound feed is expected to register a 7% CAGR during next 5 years. The company is happy to announce appointment of Mr. Vinay Vatsal as CEO of Heritage Nutrivet, which is a step towards Heritage's increased focus towards the cattle feed and nutrition business. He has over 2 decades of experience in business leadership roles and has expertise in managing business operations across markets and geographies, with a key focus on profitability by ensuring optimal and right utilization of resources. Now I'll take up the financial and operational highlights for the financial year 2021, followed by the quarter four performance of Heritage Foods. Consolidated revenue for the financial year 21 was at 24,731 million as compared to 27,259 million in FY20. The company was able to achieve EBITDA of 2,712 million as compared to 1,354 million FY20, registering a significant growth of 100% year on year. Of course, just I would like to mention this year we have moved our numbers into millions. Earlier we used to mention about crores. I do hope you all take note of this change. Aided by lower raw material costs, EBITDA margin improved to 11% as against 5% in FY20. The company reported a net profit of 1,483 million as compared to a loss of 1,694 million in FY20. Because that was including the investment related numbers. The adjusted EBITDA, excluding other income and finance costs, stood at 2,669 million in the FY21, registering a growth of 107%. EBITDA margin expanded by 608 basis points to 10.8% as against 4.7% in FY previous financial year. The adjusted PAT, excluding exceptional items, gains due to changes in fair value of derivative liabilities and fair value loss of FVTPL securities and P&L from discontinued operations, stood at 1,531 million in FY21, growing exponentially by 221% year on year. Coming to consolidated data, consolidated revenue for quarter four was at 6,194 million as compared to 6,526 million in Q4 of FY20. EBITDA was at 470 million as compared to 277 million in quarter four of the previous year, registering a growth of 70% year on year. EBITDA margin improved by 334 basis points to 7.6% as against 4.3% in Q4 of FY20 on account of, again, lower raw material costs. The company reported a net profit of 244 million as compared to a loss of 2099 million in Q4. Overall, the profitability of dairy has improved mainly because of the decrease in raw material cost and better selling prices of milk and value-added products compared to previous financial year. The adjusted EBITDA stood at 455 million in quarter four, registering a growth of 70% year on year. EBITDA margin expanded by 325 basis points. The adjusted PAT stood at 244 million, growing by 240% year on year. Coming to Heritage NutriVet, our wholly owned subsidiary. This also adding meaningful contributions now. During FY21, the sales grew by 17% year on year to 1,215 million. EBITDA grew quite well by 1.8x to 135 million. EBITDA margin expanded by 646 basis points year on year to 11.1% in FY21. PAT stood at 72 million with a PAT margin, expanding by 593 basis points year on year to 5.9% during the year. On the balance sheet front, our long-term debt is now at 469 million as on March 31st, 2021. Debt-equity ratio stood at 0.10:1, with the company having a cash and bank balance of 218 million as on March 31st, 2021. Improved operating performance and healthy balance sheet helped in achieving a ROCE of 32.6% and ROE of 28.9% for the FY21. Now moving on to volume performance. The average milk procurement during quarter four was 1.2 million per day, liters per day, as compared to 1.3 million liters per day in Q4 of previous year. Average milk sales during Q4 was 1 million liters per day compared to 1.1 million during the Q4 of last year. Curd sales during Q4 was at 278 metric tons per day as compared to 294 metric tons in the previous quarter four of previous year. The company continued with the efforts of enhancing value-added products portfolio, and I'm happy to inform you that company launched during this quarter four cheese, several variants, mozzarella and processed, and fresh cream in tetrapack packets, and cold coffee, and also expanded its ice cream variants. Revenue from value-added products was at 1,608 million, contributed 26.6% to the overall revenue in the quarter four. For the year 2021, it contributed 5,825 million, which is 24.2% of the annual dairy revenue, as against 27% during the previous year. The VAP have clocked a CAGR of 5.8% during 17-21. The VAP consumption declined in 21 due to a drop in out-of-home consumption in view of the COVID pandemic and its regulations. However, the demand for value-added products is expected to bounce back in the days to come. The company's growth mantra is to empower farmers and build a strong product portfolio through its consumer-centric approach. Heritage aspires to be a nationally recognized brand for healthy and fresh products with a focus on efficient capital management and maximizing shareholders' value. Now we open the floor for the question and answers session. Request all the members to give their feedback or raise any queries. And post this call, if you have any more issues or information required, you may reach out directly to Dickenson World Team, which is now our investment relation agency. Thank you very much for your patience and giving this opportunity.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello sir. Congrats for good set of results. So, two, three questions. One, how do you see the impact in Tamil Nadu with Avin cutting prices by rupees 3 per liter? So, I guess we also generate around 10% revenues from Tamil Nadu. So, what will be the impact on pricing power over there? Also, secondly, milk procurement prices, which were increasing, now probably have again come down. So, if the milk procurement prices again start increasing, then how will we see the pricing power and the margins, particularly in Tamil Nadu? Second, impact in terms of Novandi, how is the sales? I agree there has been lockdown in Maharashtra as soon as the launch happened. But still, any initial feedback that you can share on Novandi? And third, now company has almost net cash balance sheet. So any thoughts on buyback considering the valuation also? Yeah, that's it from my side.
Thank you, Aniruddha. Coming to your first question on Tamil Nadu sale price issue, we don't see a significant impact as of now. We have taken certain strategic decisions to pass on the part of the gains from the procurement price drop to consumers. But as and when possible, we will be able to recoup that. That's not going to make a big dent into our margins. We have multiple variants of milk in Tamil Nadu. Full cream milk, standardized milk, toned milk, double toned milk, family milk, etc. We'll be pricing differently on different variants and try to regain our volumes as well as margins as situation improves. Currently, because of the rigorous implementation of the curfew related regulations, the trading window for the shops is very minimum and we are facing certain impact on the volumes, but things should be normal as soon as the regulations are liberalized. Procurement prices, yes, as you said, it's gone up towards the quarter four as situation was looking normal. The sales volumes, the procurement volumes, prices. Dairy sector was moving upwards, moving towards a normal scenario, but wave two of COVID has again brought down the situation to last year's conditions. With procurement volumes or procurement prices or sale volumes, everything is reflecting like previous year quarter one as of today. But as situation normalizes, industry will look forward to have the normal operations. We are not very sure whether it takes 1 month or 3 months. But the nation is predicting, as you all must have heard, the peak is now over in the month of May. We crossed 4 lakh cases a day and now it is now 2.5 lakhs, around 2.5 lakhs. So it may slowly come down by June and with vaccination around, so it might be under control. Wave 3 is predicted in October again. So we are all watching day-to-day developments of the pandemic and control measures and readjusting ourselves to the new situation week on week and trying to cope up with the operations and bring back the normalcy into the business. I request our Executive Director, Ms. Brahmani, to take the question on Navandi and buyback.
Sure. Thank you, sir. So when it comes to our operations of our JV business, we had commissioned our operations in the Mumbai market through our own facility only in the month of March, and the more specific in the end of March. As we all know, the Mumbai market has been hit hard by the second wave of COVID. So while we are selling our products, we are doing it in a very limited way through limited retailers. We're waiting for the situation to get better. So I had mentioned situation seemingly is getting better and we will roll out our full-fledged expansion plan in the Mumbai market and in the other markets where we were also expecting to launch our product in the next couple of weeks or months. So this includes potentially the Hyderabad market and several other markets. That is the status of Novandi. Now coming to buyback, the board has not yet taken any conclusive decision on the same. However, as mentioned earlier, given the fact that a significant part of the term loan had been prepaid repaid, and given the fact that we are sitting on about 58 crores of term loan as of 31st March 2021, the board had decided to recommend a 100% dividend to the shareholders.
Thank you. Does that answer your question, Mr.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Ranganathan from Doric Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. And just wanted to get your sense. You know, when we look at the numbers reported by Hatsun in terms of their sales growth for the March quarter, and also their sequential decline in margins. But In both cases, their performance was much better than ours. So can you help us understand what is the difference between the performance of the two companies?
Yes, Mr. Rajesh, you have put me in a very difficulty to talk about competition, but I will try to restrict myself to heritage business. We are focusing mostly on B2C, consumer business. We are not having much of the bulk transactions. Secondly, we have also preserved certain stocks of fat during the month of March, anticipating good sales in the summer months. We did not sell significant quantity of the fat stocks. We carried forward into the current financial year. We would be consuming them during this period. So had we disposed all the stocks, maybe we would have shown the kind of rate of growth you are expecting. Coming to heritage, that is the stand, but coming to competition, maybe we can see how to understand their business separately.
Okay, that was helpful. And obviously the pandemic creates issues in terms of our growth execution, because you know everything is somewhat in a standstill. But from a point of view of new opportunities, Novandi is one of them, and one of the other areas you were focusing on was ice cream, in terms of you had planned a big relaunch. You'd started that last year. Could you give us an update on where we are with our ice cream strategy?
Of course, you must have noticed ice cream was a washout last year with the COVID pandemic. No sale outside the home. Very, very meager sales have happened. This year also we were regaining our traction, regaining the volumes towards the quarter four compared to the quarter one. Almost, I think we doubled or more than doubled our sales in the quarter four. While the momentum was picking up, again the wave two hit us. Again now the volumes are on a lower side because of the restrictions. Though ice cream is part of the dairy industry, but government regulations do not recognize ice cream as part of essential commodities like milk and other dairy products. So the movement is an issue. Points of sale are closed. Point of consumption is an impulse consumption. It doesn't happen outside. All the malls, shops, everything is shut. So it's only home consumption. Ice cream is not the most home consumed item. So ice cream business is in doldrums the last year and continues to be this year also. And we have very small contribution coming from ice cream as part of our top line. So it doesn't show much on us. But companies who depend heavily on ice cream would have difficulties during this summer too.
Okay. But it's something which we want to grow in our business. And so could you help us understand the strategy in terms of we relaunched with a new brand, and so what kind of positioning are we looking at? And I know it's we don't have much sales to show for it, but still, from a point of view of preparation, where are we in the business?
Yeah, we have upgraded our infrastructure in the back end in terms of manufacturing extruded products also in-house. Earlier we used to outsource extruded products. Now we have upgraded our infrastructure, created additional more than 100,000 liters storage capacity, the cold rooms, geared up for the distribution planning. We put around close to 1,000 new outlets got added to our products in terms of retail outlets. All that is ready, but market is shut. So this is perhaps a right product, but season is not cooperating with us in terms of external factors. And till, let's say, April, May, June, this is the quarter for ice cream business. And to some extent in July in some parts of the country. Beyond that, ice cream business will not be a significant volume. So in essence, most of the ice cream season is going through this pandemic-related regulations, curfews, lockdowns in various parts. I don't see much benefit of focusing on ice cream during the current financial year, except for gearing up for the next summer, commencing from March 2022 onwards.
Okay. And one of the areas where we've seen in other countries, they've managed to register excess growth is on immunity-related drinks, you know, haldi milk, for instance, in India or in other markets, ginger milk. So we've also launched many products in this area last year. How is the performance of those right now?
Not really significant. We tried to place the products, but offtakes were quite low, not only for us in general. I think that's a product which is not purchased and consumed. It's more of a home remedy. People believe making those golden milk at home and consuming more than purchasing and consuming. So we didn't see much traction on immunity milk too.
Okay. And a final question from me before I let go. In terms of our online efforts, last year we had benefited from it and we are also putting more effort into it. Could you help describe our efforts online, both in terms of brand building and in terms of e-commerce?
Sure. I request Brownie to respond to this.
Yeah, so e-com growth and in fact new age channel growth has been looking very positive for us. And as rightly mentioned, more consumers are buying online, myself included, they're looking for not just milk and value-added products. And hence, strategically, we see this channel as being very important. We've seen a significant growth in sales, both in terms of volumes as well as revenues through this channel. In fact, talking about volumes, we've grown about 46% year-on-year through just e-com channels, FY20 to FY21. In terms of sales, it was over 55% because of a strong, product mix through e-commerce. Similarly, we've also seen a lot of traction when it comes to MRS. So MRS plus e-com sales put together in relatively newer chains and significant chains where we've started growing. We've seen, so this includes, Big Basket, Super, Reliance, and some of the other local but very significant brick-and-mortar MRS stores. We've seen an overall growth of over 15% year-on-year. So these two channels of MRS and e-com are looking very positive for us for milk value-added products. Not just curd, but other products such as ghee, paneer, etc.
Would you also be able to comment on what our brand building efforts are online? And would you also be able to say what, say within a channel, say Big Basket in Bangalore or Big Basket in Hyderabad, what would be our market share compared to competition? And how does that compare to our offline market share?
So online volumes are definitely much lower than what it is offline since the efforts have been quite recent. But in terms of branding, we've been spending a lot more time and resources on social media and digital media marketing. So if you look at our Facebook page, our Instagram pages, etc., YouTube page, there's been a lot of new content which is engaging. We've been using a lot of influencer marketing. A lot of this content is usable not just on our own platforms, but third-party platforms, e-commerce platforms, etc. And as a result of that, we've seen a lot of engagement also from consumers, especially new age consumers. And it's very relevant in the context of value-added products launch as well as, R&D going forward and growth. In the past year, obviously because of COVID, we didn't spend too much. We wanted to be much more efficient when it came to marketing. We spent about 0.3% of our revenues on marketing, especially digital again. But this year, in order to improve and ramp up our growth and sales, we're looking at about 0.8 to 1% spend on marketing. And this will also be primarily focused on new age digital channels, e-commerce, etc.
Thank you so much. I'll go back in the queue and if there is, because there are a couple of more questions, but it isn't, and I'll come back later. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, we request you to restrict your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Ramakrishnan P from Equity Intelligence. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, and good set of congratulations for the good set of numbers. See, we have seen very volatile margins between 4% to 11-12%. So with the value added product increasing, and what is other strategies wherein which you can have a stable margin, and what kind of a stable margin you are expecting going forward?
It's a very difficult question, because milk prices are heavily dependent on multiple external factors, including weather, the public policies of state government, central government, foreign trade policy of central government, where the duties are adjusted very frequently. Sometimes it is duty-free import, sometimes it is incentivized export, sometimes exports are banned. So it will have impact on the pricing in the domestic market. Similarly, global availability, surplus demand scenario, and global demand, economic conditions or diplomatic relations. The number of global factors, government factors within India, and weather, they are influencing the availability as well as the price trends. Apart from the current pandemic scenario last year and this year also. So it's not an easy scenario to say we have a stable margin of particular level, but going by the performance of the company and the sector, we can say 8%, 7.5% to 8.5% of EBITDA margins can be a kind of right steady state margins. Whether we achieve that or not is dependent on multiple factors, as I already listed, but that is the threshold factors the sector can deliver, except certain companies where the contribution of value-added products is quite high, or in certain years they get an advantage due to the windfall gains that happen for various reasons, like suddenly milk powder prices crashed to 130 rupees last year, April, and it went up, it was 330 rupees 1 month before. 2020 March, kg milk powder was 330 rupees and April, May 2020, it fallen down to 130, 140 rupees. That kind of fluctuations are windfall gains. They might put certain companies for a period in advantage, certain companies in a disadvantage. So there are multiple factors to say why it is 4, why it is 11. And it is, much of it is external. Very less, 80% of the sale realization goes to farmer as a raw material price. Remaining 20%, you have logistics, you have power, manpower, packaging, depreciation, finance cost, and margin. So the efficiency factor cannot influence so much of the margins. It is more of a raw material side. With greater focus on value-added products, yes, if our contribution increases like this, we have been making efforts. Our value-added contribution to the total revenue was 3% 15 years back. Now last year we went up to 27%. And we were trying to move it up to 40% over a period of 5 years. But the COVID came in the way, and again out of home consumption has fallen. And our contribution has come down to 24% for full year of 2021. Whereas, again, it was picking up towards the third quarter and fourth quarter. It reached 26%, 26.5% by quarter four. We thought we'll reach 30% soon. Again, wave two has come and impacted us. So if these external factors are under control, we can move up to 40% in next 3-4 years or 5 years and improve our margins. That's the way forward, I would see. But this is all subject to external factors, which are not very clear in terms of predictability.
That's all from me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Nitin Gosar from Invesco. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, team. So a couple of questions. If I were to look at the past history, the way business has behaved until 2018, and if I were to see the business between 2018 to 21, I think recent factors have been disappointing versus the past history in terms of growth. Incrementally, how should we see this business to shape up? What are the challenges which we have witnessed in last 3 years? Is it more to do with sourcing, execution, or is it that the resources got spread across various states? We were not prepared for those kind of thinning out our resources at that point of time. The track record shows a bit of, you know, somewhere something has not been as per the expectation. We have been talking about the volume numbers like milk sales for a couple of quarters now. If I were to reflect back on the numbers, in last 4 years, it has not been able to cross 10 lakh liters per day on sustainable basis. The moment it hits 11 lakh, and again it starts to fall off. There are certain external factors that we do acknowledge and agree over past 1-2 years that we have seen. But what is there, what company can bring on table and can ensure that the growth rate comes back? And, you know, certainly the external factors are there to challenge you, but internally, what all we can do from your own?
In terms of volumetric growth, if you see, we have exited certain markets as part of our rationalization exercise in Punjab, Rajasthan, and parts of Maharashtra, Madhya Pradesh, which was there when we acquired the Reliance Dairy business. So that has also impacted in terms of volume. Second factor was scarcity of milk in the year 2019-20. That has also impacted. The prices were very high and milk scarcity was there. And subsequently, I was referring to year on year, 18-19-20. Of course, 20 was well known. 2021 is pandemic impact. 19-20 was scarcity impact, and 18-19 was rationalization and withdrawal of certain operations from certain markets. So that's about the past 3 years. And coming to the activities, we have now created additional infrastructure. For example, a 1 lakh liter greenfield plant has been completed towards the end of March 21 on Mumbai-Surat Road, which has capacity to supply milk, curd, buttermilk to Mumbai market. We are also trying to add other value-added products to the same plant at the earliest. We have also created infrastructure of 50,000 kgs per day curd in Hyderabad market. A plant, new plant has been constructed in Hyderabad. And another 50,000 kgs per day curd making plant near Vishakhapatnam was added. So this year itself, we have added 1 lakh liter milk packing capacity and another 1 lakh kgs of curd packing production and packing capacity in these two strong markets. So the additional infrastructure should help us in building the volume during the current year. But current year is again subject to the pandemic impacts right now. So we couldn't take advantage of those infrastructures created. So we are geared up fully internally in terms of infrastructure, in terms of team and technology, making pure and fresh product to the consumers with the same commitment and quality. So we should be able to take off once the external market conditions improve.
Right. Certainly, sir. And
sorry to interrupt, sir. Sorry to interrupt, sir. So I would request you to restrict your questions to two. You can come back in the queue, sir.
Ma'am, I'm yet to ask the second question.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks. So, sir, the second question was on NutriVet business. This business has been growing at 15-16% run rate for last 5 years. We are trying to bring in new talent who will drive the business from here on. why 7% growth outlook for next 5 years in that kind of business where we are deploying additional resource as well?
7% was sectoral growth, I have mentioned in my opening remarks, not company growth.
7% for the NutriVet business, right, sir?
NutriVet, no. Cattle feed business outlook for the country was projected by the sector. That's not our company growth. I was referring to sectoral growth.
Fair point, sir. Thank you. Thanks for the clarification.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prashant Kati from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So firstly, just want to have a clarification first. Don't take this as a question. The liquid milk realization and the liquid milk procurement prices, that has been missing. If you could probably share that data, you always shared that in the past.
Liquid milk realization and the procurement price. Yeah, we will share it right now, maybe towards the end of the call.
So, a couple of questions from my end, sir. Firstly, just to the previous participant's question in terms of the volume trajectory, like you highlighted that there's been last 3 years some of the other impact has happened either internally or externally. Just wanting to draw some reference over here to a lot of other categories, sir, where most of these categories have kind of come back to normalcy or even gone beyond normalcy. I'm just kind of drawing references at a national level. But if you look at categories like tea and all of them as well, even they have kind of seen fair bit of volume increase. I'm presuming that large part of the country does have milk tea. I'm just trying to understand that why are we probably still falling short in terms of our liquid milk sales volume numbers, whereas we are actually seeing in-home consumption is probably superseding maybe even the out-of-home consumption as well. Just wanted to pick your thoughts. What part of the demand has not yet come back for you or is it still lagging?
So, Prashant, I understand. We are not catering to entire nation. We are catering to certain select urban markets. Let me explain to you. If you take a case of Hyderabad, where we have our Bangalore, lot of people have returned to home because the schools were closed and the IT companies have given work from home. The most of them used to consume here in the city of Bangalore or Hyderabad. They have returned home. Their consumption of milk is met by the local farmers who are producing milk in the village. And urban consumption has fallen to that extent. Whereas if you take tea, they consume tea in the urban area, rural area, produced by same brands. So it's not comparable because people have moved back to their rural areas. Second, they didn't come back even after the situation normalized because schools are not open and they vacated their apartments and houses on lease and left them. There is no compulsion for them to come back to city. If you have 1 lakh people in Hyderabad who left this high-end workforce, in office kind of situation, they would have taken 4 cups of beverage per day, 4 lakh cups of coffee or tea. That kind of consumption vanished. Schools have been closed. The markets are closed. So the milk is a related product where where it is available in elsewhere. Where they went, the milk is available locally. Earlier, we used to get the milk to city. Now they went to a place where milk is available. So there is a big difference with milk and other commodities.
So they are trying to say that...
Next is workforce. Workforce migration. Lot of construction sites have been closed. And most of the people in our markets have left where we are operating to their states like Odisha, Bihar or Chhattisgarh, Jharkhand, the areas from where they come and stay here to work. That force has gone back for a long time. They came again, they are returning. So the markets where we operate are urban areas where population is dense. And this population is getting back to roots. So we will not carry the pack there and sell, whereas they get local supplies themselves. So this is something you have to understand why the milk sales go down during this kind of situations. Maybe some other processed foods may not go down, because they have the supply chain there and they are established for the rural areas also. We are not established for rural areas. Rural area is our procurement center, urban area is our sales center. Whereas for processed foods, both areas are sale points and they have established network. Ours is a perishable product, theirs is long shelf life, ambient temperature. How do you compare tea with milk, though they are consumed together?
Understood. Sure. So second question is on the margin. So you just said that obviously procurement kind of went up a bit sequentially as well. So if you look at right now, our gross margins are probably closer to the levels what we probably had around start of 2019. So safe to say again that the spread which you were enjoying in the last 2-3 quarters of about 11 to 12 rupees, that would have now come back to those 6 rupees, 6-7 rupee levels. Is that a fair assumption? Because procurement would have gone up a lot?
Yeah. Current quarter scenario we'll explain later, not now.
Okay. Okay. Sure. Thank you. And I'll just wait for your bill procurement.
Yeah, Prashant, just a moment. We have the question, answer you have asked for net realization and procurement price. So, Mr. Prabhakar.
Good evening, sir. Milk sale realization for the quarter 4 of 2021 is 46 rupees 27 paise.
Okay.
Milk procurement cost per liter for the same quarter is 37 rupees 25 paise.
Okay, so there's been almost a 3 rupee increase. Sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikrant Kashyap from Kedia Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and congrats on very good performance during this challenging period. Sir, referring to one of your comments in last quarter on our revenue target of rupees 6,000 crore by 2024, you had mentioned that due to COVID impact, we will have to recast the time frame and we'll update on it. So, any comment on that, sir?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm just thinking what to say.
Okay, sir.
Yeah, I think, you know, the idea...
I understand the COVID challenges are still there. It's tough time to ask this question again. But, sorry, absence, because you just mentioned that if COVID is not there, in 3, 4, 5 years, our VAP will be 40% that we're targeting earlier. In that sense, I thought to ask this question.
Sorry, can you repeat the last part?
Last part, when today in the earlier remarks, you said that VAP sales could be 40% in 3, 4, 5 years if COVID is not there. So in that context, I thought to ask you the question on revenue target of 6,000 crores. So how long we are deferring it? Where do we, because you are going for CapEx plans as it was.
See, we initially decided to put 2024 as the time frame to achieve that. So we lost last financial year, and this financial year is also in difficulties as of now. So we are yet to see whether you put 2025 or 26, when we can reach that number is subject to the scenario that comes out of this current wave 2 and expected wave 3. Therefore, we are just looking forward to settle down from the current struggle and fight, what happens in the market. Then regroup our thoughts and put some time frame on that. It's not done yet, so that much I can say today. But we are surely having the target of 6,000 in mind. Mm-hmm. Yet to readjust the time frame, whether it is 2024 looks out of feasibility as of now, whether it requires 1 year or 2 years or what kind of time frame is required, we'll go with the time and see as situation becomes normal.
Okay, thank you.
I would like to add 2 points to that. Having said that, we are working in that direction. Of course, it's been a tough year. But if you look at our performance in Q3, Q4 versus Q1 of the last financial year, we've shown a growth in volumes of several products. So, Q4 versus Q3 itself, we've seen revenue numbers. We've grown in milk, we've grown in curd, ice cream, buttermilk, other value product or added products such as flavored milk, lassi, etc. So the idea and the efforts are towards growing in terms of volumes, not just in milk, but also in value added products. And we were going in that direction till the second wave hit. So we're hoping that we come out of it very soon and go back on the same trajectory. Secondly, I think there was a point on CapEx where there was a point made that we're spending the same. As of last financial year, we spent about 88 crores on dairy CapEx. But this year, of course, since we built a lot of capacities, 130 metric tons of, curd capacity and 1.3 lakh liters per day in terms of milk capacity, packing capacities, we would be much more conservative in terms of CapEx spend this particular year. It will be lower than 50% than what we spent in the previous year. And this will be mostly towards front-end, freezers, chillers, some IT initiatives, some initiatives of upgrading and replacing our equipment and processing facilities, our procurement facilities, etc. So to that extent, our spends will decrease this year.
Yeah, got your point, ma'am. Thank you very much for the clarification. Ma'am, one thing, in the previous calls, we had also speak about growing our presence in adjacent market, say from urban area in Hyderabad to tier 2, tier 3, or maybe lower down in adjacent areas. So are we working on that? Do our plan is on track?
Yes, yes. We are strengthening our position in our core markets as well. Especially if you look at the numbers, we've seen a revenue growth in the Telangana market year on year, despite an overall revenue decrease. In parts of AP also, we've seen increase in revenues. So that continues to be there in terms of focus. This came from milk as well as value-added products. There are other markets which are in a difficult situation where obviously we'll continue to focus on revenues through existing as well as new channels.
Thank you, ma'am. Any product launches planned for 2022?
Yes, certainly. Yeah, I will request our CEO to take that question.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we have launched actually during last financial year, natural milk, probiotic curd, immunity milk, cold coffee, high aroma ghee, milkshake, fresh cream, cheese in different variants, and added few new variants in ice cream also. So that we have launched it in last financial year.
Yeah,
we are also working on certain products to launch, paneer tikka, spicy butter, chicken and amarkand, particularly for the Mumbai market, and badam milk with real badam nuts actually, nut pieces. So these four products are under pipeline actually, going to launch it coming quarter actually.
Okay, thank you sir, and wish you best of luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Gupta from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question, sir, and hope everyone of you is staying safe and healthy. Taking on the from this, I in this question is asked in some form previously. So sorry if I'm dwelling on this again, but since FY18 we acquired Reliance Dairy, our milk procurement has been almost flat, and I understand there have been many one-off events in this period. But at least in the near future also I understand that things are going to be uncertain. So in this context, can I ask what are our milk procurement related plans? I know you have elaborated on the greenfield projects, but this is question is more specific to our procurement efforts, and what different are we going to do in the next 2-3 years versus what we have done in the last 2-3 years so that procurement increases, and any target do we have, any medium term target that we have on procurement side? That will be my first question, sir.
Yeah, procurement is not a issue. We have been procuring the volumes which are required for markets. we have expanded our physical infrastructure in certain states even during 2021. Almost 85,000 liters additional chilling capacity infrastructure has been created, and we have been continuously giving the assurance of 100% forward marketing linkage to the farmers without any single day break of milk holidays, etc. That is one of our USPs to farmers, and we continue to offer our help to farmers to improve their income in various measures. We organize bank credit and NBFC credit to the farmers with ease of delivery of the credit. Almost 125 crores was delivered during the last financial year, and this year we are planning to give 150 crores towards the credit linkage to the farmers. Similarly, feed, as you have heard, Heritage NutriVet is supplying high quality feed at a very reasonable price at doorsteps. We don't expect farmers to come and pick up the feed anywhere. We are going to village with milk vehicles every day. When milk vehicle goes empty, it carries feed bags and delivers in the village. Farmers have an advantage of buying small quantities more frequently, delivered at home in the village on credit. The recovery is done through the milk bills. So that kind of input supply in terms of feed or vitamins or micronutrients, our medicines are delivered by us to the farmers. So this approach is now further being strengthened by remote veterinary services. During next month, we are already on a pilot model. Next month we are going to launch exclusive app for the farmers to avail services of veterinarians across the states where we are operating. We have a panel of veterinary doctors who can guide them remotely by taking the WhatsApp pictures on the or pick photographs on the app itself. The farmer can take animals picture and post it. We recommend, our panel will recommend medical veterinary treatment or nutrition guidance or the reproduction guidance, arrange the insemination tie-up from the nearby centers. So the entire veterinary service for improving the productivity of the animal and improving the volume of the farmer, the both ways, production and productivity improvement through veterinary remote services through an app, dedicated app being launched from the next month. So we continue our efforts for improving animal health, animal reproduction, animal productivity. Thereby, income of farmer goes up without further investments. And we also help them to invest in more animals so that his overall milk quantity will increase and his income will increase. So both the ways, productivity improvement, production improvement helps. And we supply all the inputs and conduct extension programs. So the kind of service we do farmers, that is what is helping us in building volumes. If we want to build another 1 lakh liters, we just have to invest in our infrastructure and expand our services to the farmers. We can achieve that volume. That's not an issue at all.
Got it, sir. And this process is easily replicable in markets that we are not strong in also. Let's say you want to expand into Maharashtra. It's just about finding the correct demand center, and then you can set up the procurement. Is that understanding correct?
Perfect.
Okay, fair. That answers my question, sir. Thank you. And the second question is, sir, our employee costs, I am seeing that they've seen a CAGR of 13%, grown at an annual CAGR of 13% over FY 18 to 21. And especially in the sense that this period has seen a flattish performance on sales. So what really has constituted this kind of increase? And going forward, what is the outlook here? Are we done with any kind of senior hiring plans, and now we can expect some moderation and operating leverage on this number?
See, it's more of a streamlining issue internally. Earlier years, we had the cost of certain field force was added into other line of account in the sales or marketing operations, etc. For the proper accountability and the productivity measurement, we shifted all the expenses on people into HR account. that looks like inflated, but that is regrouping of the expenditure items into HR. And secondly, we have also spent additional amount during the last pandemic in terms of special allowances to ensure people are safe, and they have been given additional food facility or this precautions. Much of it is given on the HR front is got added. So this is something which we are trying to make internal regrouping of the accounting. Plus additional manpower got added with the new plants and new chilling centers added during this period. We have created, we have also added one new plant in Maharashtra. We have also added some 10 new chilling centers in different areas. The new manpower got added, and there is a performance incentive eligibility which has come because of higher performance. That also we have a component of fixed pay, we have a component of variable pay. Like each employee gets, let's say 2021, 1 month pay extra. Instead of 12 months, we get 13 months pay because of the performance in terms of the overall company. So that additional incentives, additional performance pays also have been shared.
Got it, sir. Thank you very much. That's all from me. Wishing you all the best for the upcoming future. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Samir.
Thank you. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sagarika Mukherjee from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks for the opportunity. Actually, if you could just give me some color in terms of your state-wise performance, like AP Telangana, Karnataka, Tamil Nadu, and Maharashtra.
It is broadly same as it was in the earlier months. There is no big change. And we are not giving very, very detailed numbers because of the competition disadvantage we have been seeing on that front.
Sure, understood. But you would say that, you know, all the markets, all the trends might not have changed, but all the markets are equally declined, or the, you know, sort of, or that, is it like some markets especially?
That will take care.
Right. So secondly, in terms of, you know, your mozzarella cheese plans that you have, you know, I always thought that Heritage wanted to remain in fresh dairy products and value added, but definitely fresh dairy products, etc., because they are more lighter on the working capital side. In terms of you know, your entry into mozzarella cheese, if you could just maybe give some color on your plans, capex, where do you want to place? Is it more B2B, B2C venture, or is it related to the PLI scheme?
Sure. This is a very small initiative, small component of our revenue of value-added products. We have not invested in capex. It's a contract manufacturing being done from one of the existing players who have surplus capacities. So there is no commitment on capex now or in the coming few years also. Secondly, coming to working capital concerns, it's a small quantity, so it will not influence our working capital management. And thirdly, this has been initiated because our basket is not full. When some consumer comes to Heritage exclusive parlor, they are getting disappointed that you don't have cheese and I have to go to some other store for buying it. Or online orders also, someone takes Heritage Touch app and places orders on one or two products and looks for cheese, it is not there. So to minimize the consumer disappointment and also learn more about the cheese operations, we have resorted to a co-packing model and introduced recently. And next one, it is not B2B at all, it will be always B2C. So our focus is to satisfy, delight our consumers first. So this is a basket filler and range management to see our consumers are served properly with all the range of products. All these years we are missing cheese, so we wanted to cover that gap also.
Right, and so just if I could come in for the last question. So we distribute our products to 1.3 lakh retail outlets today. you know, at the 6,000 crore revenue, what's the network size that we're looking at, and where all we are, I mean, are we planning to add the network?
Yeah, it will be in the same markets where we are operating. We are not looking at new states, but within the same states, same markets, we will go, as it was referred earlier, tier 1, tier 2 cities also, to it's a deeper penetration in the existing markets. And maybe we have to double our outlet coverage. But the most of these value-added product sales, as Brahmani earlier explained, growing significantly through modern trade, either e-commerce or brick-and-mortar stores. So that reduces pressure on network. We can focus more on the high-dense networks and formats.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shirish Pardesi from Centrum Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, Brahmani, and good evening, Mr. Rao. Thanks for the opportunity. I hope you all are safe and healthy. I have two questions. The first question, you mentioned that 8.5, 7.5 EBITDA margin. In your thought, if we need to reach, say, 10% EBITDA margin, what kind of value-add component you think we can take? Or is that 27% is this equivalent to get about 8.5, or we need to have more contribution from value-add?
Maybe at a stable state, once we achieve 40-45% of revenue from value-added products, we can look at that. But while the category is growing, there will be spends on marketing, there will be spends on promotions, etc. During the growth phase, that benefit may not accrue to the business. After you achieve certain level of volumes, and then we can expect that additional 100 basis points or 150 basis points addition to EBITDA. But that's why we are not giving you that, you know, a clear number. This is what it is. We have to keep the bottom line in view and also ensure healthy growth. Both top line, bottom line, in a balancing manner we have to achieve. So we will keep both in sight and build the businesses in future with an aspiration of reaching 40-45% of value-added product contribution to the overall revenue of the dairy.
Sir, I got it. What I wanted to ask, I mean, if I do the quick math, rather than achieving 6,000 crore, you will surprise double-digit EBITDA margin very quick. That's what the good understanding.
I leave it to your imagination at this stage.
Okay. My last question is for Brahmini. Thank you for giving a good slide on Navanti. And my sincere congratulations that finally the plant is up and running. I have two questions. I mean, one follow-up and the main question is that how much capex we have done on Navanti business and how much is further which can happen in the next 2 years? And the follow-up is that now we have two products which have gone into the market. What else can happen in the next 3 years? And if you can give some revenue color, what can come from the one-day JV?
Sure. Thank you for the question. So when it comes to the plant, it's also JV. We've spent about 34 crores in CapEx, funded by both partners as well as a component of debt. That facility is actually equipped to be able to manufacture not just fruit and flavored yogurts, but also fermented drinks, which are all a part of our scope of products in the agreement between both the companies. In fact, you know, we'd be able to add many other products also. By minor additions of equipment within the product, we'd be able to double the capacity of the plant also from 10 tons per day to 20 tons per day by this minor addition of equipment, packing equipment, etc. So it's a highly flexible plant that can double in terms of capacity and into which we can also add other products which are part of the scope of the JV agreement between both the companies. So as of now, we would like to focus on these set of products because the range of products is many. There's fruit and flavored yogurt of many different kinds, drinkable, scoopable, etc. within which we can also look at interesting variants such as probiotic and several other different kinds. It also includes European deserts, for which the market is really big. For instance, Novandi or Andros as a company, the parent company, is a market leader when it comes to several Italian deserts in the European markets. So that's going to be our focus in the near future when it comes to this specific JV. However, having said that, you know, very opportunistically, if we come across any interesting collaborative opportunities, either in terms of technology or in terms of product, we are happy to look at it. But for now, we are really focused on our current set of our scope of products and scale it up.
Thank you. Any color on the revenue within next 3, 4, 5 years?
Yeah, the idea is to build a formidable business out of it. I think it's too early for me to share this. Novandi being an unlisted company might have some issues with sharing numbers, but we are looking at some healthy revenue numbers through this one plant itself, and that's why we've chosen the Mumbai market and, you know, other adjoining markets. We also believe that yogurt is the lowest hanging fruit when it comes to any Western products to be introduced in the Indian market, and very close to our existing portfolio of Indian products such as curd and other fermented products.
All right. Thank you, and all the best to you and the team.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is the last question that we would be taking due to time constraint, which is from the line of Pankaj Prasoon, HNI. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon and good evening to all of you, Brahmi and Rao sir. So my question is on the Nutrivit side. So we have more than 3 lakh farmers on our city. And if I do a simple math of 20,000 rupees per farmer per annum, which makes to 600 crores, which is a low-hanging fruit till now, and we had not harvested. So what is the reason that we could not convert it to the revenue? And what strategy going forward? As you have mentioned in your slide that this cattle feed business will grow to 7% CAGR by 2026. So can you tell me the light on the, what could be the size of the market by 2026 and what is the current? And what kind of EBITDA margin you make right now and what you are aspiring to? And I would like to know what kind of the asset turnover ratio here and what are the capex plans for this vertical, since Mr. Vinay Vatal appears to be a very capable person who was CEO at Godrej Agrovet. So where do you see this business going to reach in the next 5 years?
Yeah.
Thank
so
you.
I
Thank you, Mr. Pankaj. Yes, we have a large pool of farmers who are in need of the compound feed, and we also discovered this quite late. We have built 2 plants of 6,000 tons per month capacity each. So we have started utilizing our network, delivering our feed to our farmers last 4 years. So we are ramping up our distribution network, utilizing the capacities created. And they have a logistics limitations. We are operating in multiple states. Plants are only in two places. So we may have to look at production tie-ups in different markets to scale up and also reach out to all the farmers to utilize our products. So we are on the job of reaching out to our suppliers and also supplying to the other farmers through a general trade network of distributors, dealers being appointed in various milk sheds. That activity is going on. Now with the new CEO, Mr. Vinay Vatal, as you said, is quite experienced. We are looking to finalize our strategy. He joined only 6 weeks back. So we will be working out on a long-term plan, medium-term plan, how to expand our capacities with less capex going forward and utilize the existing plants more productively with higher capacity utilization, reach out to as many farmers as possible who are spread over in 12,000 villages. Currently, our farmer base is spread over 12,000 plus villages. So reaching out to all those farmers with proper logistics planning is another issue. Keeping the consumption quantities being very low at the moment. Most of the farmers are heavily dependent on the low-cost feed, not really compounded feed. It only adds to the feed benefit of the nutritional benefit of the cattle. So we are working on various options, details, and finalizing our way forward program for the next 5 years. Maybe in the coming months, quarters, once we are more geared up, we would be apprising you all in course of time. Thank you very much.
Sir, still some questions remain unanswered. So I ask that what is the market size of this animal feed business currently and what will be by 2026? And what kind of EBITDA margin?
We will share with you in course of time. We are already quite late on the call. We have two other calls waiting. So I request you to be patient. We will be coming out with clear information and there is a lot of time to share.
Sir, just one thing, that what will be the asset turnover ratio in this business?
In the NutriVet business?
Yeah.
It could be 3 times right now.
Okay, and at the peak, what will be?
Peak will be 5 times.
Okay, because I see that this cattle feed market itself is more than 1 lakh crore per annum. So we are lacking much behind in this.
Yeah, they see the feed value is very low. So the asset versus revenue, if you are selling ghee, it's a 500 rupees kg, 400 rupees kg realization. Feed is 15 rupees, 20 rupees kg realization. So it won't be comparable with the high value products. It's a very low value
product. Sir, I will answer this because ghee we are using in a chamach, in a spoon. And this we are giving in a KG.
Let us hold on this topic. We will take up next time some other.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Due to time constraint, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Dr. M. Sambasiva for closing comments.
Thank you very much for actively participating in the today's call in spite of the challenging times outside with the pandemic prevailing. Once again, thank you and wish you all a safe stay at home during this lockdown and curfew period. Thank you again.
Thank you. I now invite Mr. Hiral Kenya for closing comments from Dickinson World.
Thank you everyone for joining us today for this call. In case of further questions, clarifications, suggestions or feedback, you can connect with Mr. Umakant Barik, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer, Heritage Foods, or us, Dickinson World.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Heritage Foods Limited, we conclude this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your line.